Mark, Luke chapter 16. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Luke chapter 16 is going to serve as the text of our lesson here this morning. As you're settling back in, you find that particular passage. Let me welcome all those who are out with us here this morning. We've got a good number out with us today. We're very grateful for that. Appreciate your interest in spiritual things. It has you to visit with us here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us, won't you feel welcome? Won't you feel like our honored guests? Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want to let you know and remind ourselves that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is as it reports to be, the words of God. The Hebrew writer one time said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God hath spoken. That God is weighed in on the affairs of men. He has given us his mind, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. And therefore this morning, as I bring forth my lesson, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the word of God, for everything that I preach and teach here today. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I bear your record that most of the time I do not reread the things that were read in your hearing earlier, but we're going to do that here this morning because I think it's important to our lesson. So if you do have your Bibles handy, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. For many of this is a very familiar story that Jesus tells us here on this occasion, but I'd like for you to listen to it with fresh ears and to look at it with fresh eyes with me here this morning as we take a look at Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That's an interesting way to begin this story. Its Genesis goes back to verse 13, where Jesus there is talking about the fact that you can't serve two masters. Okay, either you love the one or hate the other. You can't serve both God and money, mammon, riches, treasures of this world. And they look down their noses at him. In verse 14, it says they deride him at that. Of course you say money isn't important. You're broke. I mean, you know, so what that you have to say that? And Jesus tells him on this occasion, look, you know, the things you esteem, God doesn't. And that is the context of this story that Jesus tells. So he begins with somebody that we would all esteem. I mean, here was a rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. He wore purple. And then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. How well do you esteem that situation? Does that look like a pretty good situation? So Jesus is showing the contrast here in that context of them deriding him with that idea of what it is that you serve. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. The fate of all men, rich or poor, happened to them both. They both died. What happens then? It's a good question. It's another sermon all in itself. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, not charge you a bit, okay, for it. But I want you to appreciate the fact that they both died. That's not the end, you see. One, it says, was taken to Abraham's bosom. There's no greater place for a Jew to think or consider than to be at the side of Abraham. Wherever Abraham went after he died, now this poor beggar goes. You see that? So also, the rich man now has died. Where is he? It says, and in Hades, that is the realm of the unknown spirits, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham and Lazarus afar off. Okay? So now here they both have died. They continue on. That's not the end of their existence. They have not been, they're not, this is not, the judgment scene has not occurred yet. We're not going to heaven or hell. But yet these two men go on. One finds himself in comfort, the other finds himself in torment. This is very consistent with other scripture. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, as Jesus is on the cross, dying that very day, he had a thief beside him, said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And you may recall, Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus died that day, and so did the thief. But that wasn't the end, Don. And you see, that very day, before that day was over with, they were still together, but someplace else. Jesus described it as paradise. By the way, there was another thief that died that day, and he was not with Jesus and the other cross, the other thief, you see. So there were two realms, if you will, that one dies or goes to once one dies. And he said, Abraham said, or I should say, he cried to Abraham, verse 24, ask Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime, your cognitive abilities go on with you. You see that? Your cognitive abilities go with you. Your flesh body does not, but you go on. Because Abraham said to him, remember in your lifetime, you had good things, and likewise Lazarus had evil things. Now he's comforted, but you are tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would go unto you. Then he said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou shouldest remember my father's house, for I have five brothers, which he may testify unto them, that they might not come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. A couple observations. My father, Billy Anderson, some of you know him, years ago, preached the gospel to his brothers. He invited them all to come from different parts of the Midwest, and they came. I was shocked. I said, you mean you just call your brothers and ask them to drive 3 or 4 hours, come see you, and they'll do it? And they did. And he taught them the gospel, and he did it because he was reading this, and it said, I got five brothers, and my dad counted up in his mind, and he said, so do I. And so he attempted to preach the gospel to all of them. Three now have passed from us. Two are still alive. One's a Christian and one is not. Second observation. This man wants someone to go back to tell them, don't come to this place. Yet, Abraham says, they won't be persuaded. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. No. Someone raises from the dead, they'll believe. Does anybody here know of anybody that rose from the dead and people still didn't believe him? Yeah. Jesus Christ our Lord rose from the dead, yet folks do not repent. Well, as we've read through that, I just made those few observations there on this lesson. There's three things that I want us to take from this morning, and then the lesson will be yours, especially in that context of what men esteem God does not. I want you to appreciate that as you think about that, as you look at these two men and their lives, things are not always as they seem. The first thing that I want you to see is this. Be careful what you wish for. Two men could not be more different. One rich, one poor. Verse 19, he dressed in purple. That dye was worn, dyed these different clothes, and it was worn by rich people. It was worn by royalty. This dye was squeezed from a fish. One drop per fish. Very expensive. It was worn on special occasions by royalty. This guy wore it every day. He lived in splendor. One translation said he lived like a party every day. The opposite, Lazarus, poor man, beggar, lame, sick, longed to be fed with the crumbs from this rich man's table. The dogs licked his sores. How disgusting, how putrid, how much lower can a man be? Here's my question to you. Which one do you envy? Which one would you like to be like? I mean, most of us have to go to work. Some drive any car, even pay cash, and we say, man, just to live like that, how would that be? Be honest. I mean, wouldn't we all like to go shopping and not have to look at the price tag? Wouldn't it be kind of neat to go on vacation? Wouldn't it kind of be neat to go on vacation and not have to worry about the cheapest way to go? this man lived like it was a party every day. And I just say to this, be careful what you wish for things are not always as they seem. I heard a story one time of a little daughter that was watching her mother who had some problems with her skin, and she was putting on some lotion, and she had one of these automatic bristles, you know, and she was just kind of on her face one night before she went to bed, and the little girl said, Mommy, when can I have bad skin? Be careful what you wish for, right? And that's what I want you to think about when it comes to this scene. As Jesus said, hey, listen, what man esteems, God does not. Look at these two men. Which one would you rather be like? Nobody, ladies and gentlemen, is envying Lazarus. Anyone looks at a beggar, a homeless person, like, man, if I could only live like that. But Jesus, throughout his ministry, said things like this, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the things which he has. The wise man in Proverbs 30, verse 8 said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that's convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take thy name in vain. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out. Therefore, with food and raiment, there would be content. Verse 9, but those who would be rich fall into a snare, temptation, and many foolish and hurtful lusts that drown men in destruction. For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many a sorrow. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 10. In the book of Proverbs again, in chapter 23, in verse 17. The wise man there says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. As I think about these two men, ladies and gentlemen, as I read this story again, I just say to you, be careful what you wish for, because things are not always as they seem. But also I want you to see this. You can't live wrong and die right. When was the last time you went to a funeral and the preacher said, well, this was one lousy individual. We know he's burning in hell. Never was cast in a place of worship, always lied, ever still. I've never heard that. I always hear preachers preaching them right into the heavenly choir. Well, he's now dead. Well, he's now safe in the arms of Jesus. He's better off now. Listen, my friends, things are not always as they seem. Notice, if you will, again, verse 22 and 23. And it came to pass, like the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades lifted up his eyes, being in torment every day. This man at one time was having a party every day. Imagine the funerals. Lazarus was probably carted off in some livery wagon and cast into a pit with trash to be burned or placed in some pauper grave, some other no-name man. The rich man? Why, he was paraded down Main Street, full color guard. CNN carried it live, full of interviews of dignitaries, sung his praise as being a rich man, a colorful figure in the lives, prominent to pay their last respects. Jesus said the poor man was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, the rich man carried by men to be buried to the ground. In life, two very different existences. In death, two very different existences. Listen, my friend, you cannot live wrong and die right. Jesus said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In Romans 2 and verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, every one of us will give account of ourselves before God. Romans 14 and verse 12. It's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I learn anything from this story, I learned that you cannot live wrong and die right. Never concern about anyone else, living life for himself. That's like another rich man I read about in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. You may recall this man had a bountiful crop. He didn't know what in the world was going to do. He said, well, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build greater barns. And then this is what I'll say to myself. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But in verse 20, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which you have provided? You see, you cannot live wrong and die right. Listen, it's not that the rich man was lost because he was rich, nor was it because Lazarus was poor that he was comforted. The first man was totally unconcerned for God, and this beggar that sat at his door, the one in this story that did not live right, did not die right. One more thing here I want you to see, and then we'll close this lesson. Number three is this. We will not go on this side of time forever. The rich man opened his eyes just after death and realized just what a messed up view of his life he had. The things that he had thought were so important, the things that he thought would bring him happiness, really didn't mean anything at all. You know what he saw was the most important thing? As we read that again, did you see it? It's all summed up in one word. One word. Repent. Repent. Notice the request after being told that Lazarus couldn't come to him. Verse 28. I have five brothers. Have him go testify to them, lest they come to this place. No, Father Abraham, he says in verse 30, but if one went into the dead, they will repent. Go, tell my family, don't come here. You ever noticed in movies, when it comes to one that's dead, their main concern is to tell other people, hey, just tell them I love them one more time. Hey, could you send Lazarus back and tell Aunt Susie, you know, just hang in there. It's going to be all right. You see, that's movies. Things are not always as they seem. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 17 and 30, at the time of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. My friends, things are not as they seem. It seems like life will go on forever. That time after time, I have another opportunity to get it right. This man learned too late that we will not be on this side of time forever. There will come a day when I will die, or the Lord will come again, and how I am in the sight of God at that moment is how I will spend eternity. How comfortable are we with that thought at this moment? Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he can be found. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. There's three lessons I want you to see from this story again here this morning, and here they are. Be careful what you wish for. The things that men esteem are not esteemed by God. You cannot live wrong and die right, no matter how good a preacher you have preaching your funeral. And we will not be on this side of time forever. And if we have learned those lessons here this morning and make the right decisions, then our time will have been spent very profitably. You listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who has not been obedient to the words of Jesus when he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that, you can do that here this morning. We'll take your confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Maybe it is, I'm talking to people who've done that. You need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe it is you need to confess sin. It's of a public nature. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if you'll confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever you need from us here this morning, this good book will allow. We encourage you here this morning to take advantage of that. We extend the Lord's invitation to you, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me anyway, come forward now and we stand and we sing.
I have decided to